Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour on this Friday, the 13th day of January, 2012. I'm Jeff Seifert for Raven News. The Alaska legislature gavels into session next week on the 17th, and lawmakers from across Southeast have been talking to reporters about what they expect in the months ahead. We'll be bringing you some of their viewpoints, beginning with State Senator Bert Stedman. KCAW's Ed Ronco spoke with the Sitka Republican, who co-chairs the Senate Finance Committee.
It's going to be very busy. There'll be a lot of smoke going up the chimney of the train on the track, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of forward movement.
State Senator Bert Stedman says because of redistricting, almost the whole legislature is running for election this year, and that could be reflected in this year's session.
You're going to have all kinds of legislation flying around. It's vote for me legislation. And hopefully we're going to weed through that stuff and just concentrate on what's good policy for the state and leave a lot of that election hearing stuff behind in the trash can and let the voters sort that out next fall.
Stedman says, in his view, good policy for the state includes making sure that Alaska's finances stay strong. Even though the state operates a budget surplus, Stedman says it would be a mistake to spend freely.
It's a ludicrous argument to say that the strength of the state has enough cash, therefore we should give it back, or we should just, you know, spend it willy-nilly. We have an extremely valuable asset in our state, our hydrocarbon basin in the Arctic, and we need to, and it's a finite resource, and we need to make sure when we monetize that we put substantial portion of that away for future use of the Alaskans coming after us.
Stedman says a failed proposal to cut oil taxes will come up for discussion again this year and will be, in his words, full of misinformation. He says the idea that oil companies will leave Alaska is, quote, laughable. And he said the state Senate objected to Governor Sean Parnell's proposal to lower the taxes because it needed more information, and the data supplied by the state did not paint a complete picture of the situation. Stedman says that at $100 a barrel, Alaska's available oil is worth about $21 billion. The state takes about 12.5% off the top, and he says there's about $6 billion in costs. And so, Stedman says, that leaves about $14 billion.
And the discussion will be, at what price of oil, if it's $60 oil, excuse me, $100 oil, $150 oil, who gets what portion of that $14 billion? If oil prices go up, say they go up to $120 a barrel, you'd be at $25 billion in value. So you'd have, you know, you'd have 18 or so billion to cut up instead of 14. So then in that scenario, how does that extra $4 billion get split? And we're just arguing over who gets the what portion of the apple pie, and when we have a little cream on top, who gets the cream?
Where to put the knife?
Where to
move
put
the knife to the left or the right?
Yeah, that's right. So in a nutshell, that's what we're dealing with, a lot of money.
As co-chair of the Senate Finance Committee, Stedman will be front and center in that statewide conversation. But in his home district, Stedman is known as the go-to guy for the state's capital budget, which means millions in funding for projects across Alaska. Big priorities this year in his hometown of Sitka include getting money for additional diesel generators to make electricity, along with funding for mandatory water improvement projects. Stedman also says the state needs to put some more money behind the Alaska-class ferry.
We need to start funding for the next one, because we're going to hopefully build two or three of these vessels, you know, in Ketchikan and our own state-owned shipyard. So that's an important discussion to have. Hopefully the coastal communities will come together and push for the funding of that, a little more than they have in the past.
The state already has allocated about $120 million for one of the new ships. Other concerns include securing some money for a proposed hydro project at Tecats Lake, which Stedman says will be crucial to relieving Sitka's mounting energy crisis. The capital budget is for one-time projects.
You know, we can turn that on and off like a faucet. If we want to stimulate the economy, we can put capital projects on the street. We can build, catch up on deferred maintenance, build new state buildings, build some roads, build, you know, more infrastructure. The operating budget, you have to feed that every year regardless. Mm-hmm.
And it's the operating budget, Stedman says, where the need for fiscal prudence will most be felt. Still, he thinks the Senate will give a warm reception to some proposed increases in funding, especially to education.
I would expect that the Senate will take a favorable view of you know, some incremental increase. I would expect the House and the governor to be, you know, less favorable, and we'll come up with a compromise in the end.
But for now, Stedman and lawmakers across the state are focused on the beginning. The Alaska legislature gavels into session on January 17th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can hear Senator Bert Stedman talk about redistricting, the upcoming election, and a variety of state and local issues. The entire interview is posted to our website at kcew.org. Angoon's Native Village Corporation is petitioning the federal government to take control of a major salmon fishery in southeast Alaska. Kootsnawoo Incorporated says state management has favored the commercial seine fleet over the needs of subsistence users in the western Admiralty Island community. And the corporation wants the federal government to assert authority over marine waters. That's never been done before in Alaska, but the Federal Subsistence Board will consider the issue this spring. As Matt Lichtenstein reports, the results could have broad implications.
Our concern was really born out of what was a shortage of fish for the people in Angoon.
Peter Narrows is general manager for Kootsnawoo, which originally filed its petition with the federal government last May. It claims the state has failed to manage for the subsistence priority required under federal law and instead given the preference to the commercial seine harvest in the Chatham Strait area in order to provide for conservation and subsistence needs. The petition requests that the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture assert a power known as extraterritorial jurisdiction to stop or limit state-managed commercial salmon fishing fisheries in Chatham Strait and adjacent icy and peril straits in June, July, and half of August. Narrows says Kootsnawoo wants an active management plan that recognizes subsistence law and acknowledges the needs of the people in Angoon.
What we would like to do is, you know, is to see, you know, the community prosper just like every other community in Southeast based on the resources close to them. I mean, I hate to use this phrase, but it's really managing for abundance. So I think, you know, to say that we're looking to close a commercial effort, you know, on a wholesale basis is more of an overstatement than what our intent is. Our intent is to find what the management tools out there and to utilize them.
Seiners in Chatham mainly target pink salmon in late July and August, but they also catch what the state calls an incidental take of sockeye. The petition claims a broad overlap between seining and sockeye migrations through Chatham. It raises concerns about several area streams, but it's focused on returns to Canalcou Lake, which is the closest to Angoon on western Admiralty Island. Angoon residents have been frustrated by a strict bag limit that Narrows calls ridiculously low.
And there is no limit on the amount of fish that the commercial fishermen can catch. So that's really the fundamental problem. Is when you have a limit or bag limit of 15 fish per year per household, you're not meeting the needs of the resident user, the rural user there.
We're very committed to providing for subsistence, and in this particular instance, we recognize that there are some challenges that are involved.
That's Fish and Game Deputy Commissioner Dave Bedford, who says the state is looking at ways to address the concerns over Canalcou, like making it easier for fish to get up waterfalls. But he says it's hard to see how federal management and more limits on the commercial fishery would have a meaningful impact. He emphasizes that the seine fleet's already restricted by timing as well as the complete closure of certain sockeye migration areas like Mitchell Bay just outside Canalcou.
The opening of the purse seine fishery in Chatham Straits, generally speaking, doesn't begin to really accelerate until later in the month of July. And the figures that I've seen show that most of the subsistence harvest has taken place by the time we have the first opening of the purse seine fishery in any proximity to Mitchell Bay. So I think that the timing of the fishery in and of itself is offset from the migratory timing of that particular stock.
As a matter of policy, Bedford says the department would not support an extension of federal jurisdiction into state waters. The Chatham Strait area is a major part of the state's seine fishery, and Bedford says the implications of a federal closure would be profound. Right now, the Federal Office of Subsistence Management in Anchorage is working on a staff analysis of the issue. That's expected to come out in time for the Southeast Regional Subsistence Advisory Council to discuss it and listen to public comments during a meeting in Juneau the week of March 19th. Forest Service subsistence biologist and council advisor Cal Cassipit says the Federal Subsistence Board is slated to meet in Juneau right after that to come up with a recommendation for the Secretary of Agriculture. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
Alaska officials say a top state fish and game official has been charged with a dozen criminal hunting violations and has quit his job. State troopers say the charges against Corey Rossi were filed by the State Department of Law and relate to an illegal 2008 bear hunt. At the time, Rossi was a licensed assistant big game guide. Rossi is accused of making false statements on big game hunting reports. He was a controversial choice in 2010 to be director of the State Division of Wildlife Conservation. Fish and Game Commissioner Cora Campbell says Rossi submitted his resignation Thursday. He was not immediately reachable by phone. Conservation Division Operations Manager Dale Rabe has been named as Rossi's interim replacement. And a Russian tanker hauling much-needed fuel across the ice-choked ocean to Nome is just 6 miles from its destination. A Coast Guard icebreaker has cut a path through ocean ice to help the vessel with its cargo of 1.3 million gallons of fuel reach Nome. Coast Guard official Adam DeRocher says the ship reached the area late Thursday night, but was waiting until daylight before advancing further. Daylight doesn't come to that part of Alaska until 11:30 a.m. DeRocher says crews are waiting for light because it will be safer going through the ice, and they will have a better idea of where to anchor to start unloading fuel. The city missed its final pre-winter delivery of fuel by barge when a big storm swept the region last fall. Without the delivery, Nome could run short of fuel before another barge arrives in late spring, forcing fuel to be flown in and raising prices as high as $9 a gallon. Meanwhile, the Coast Guard is urging Nome residents to stay off the ice to view the two vessels because it's unsafe with the ships around. Snow showers expected today with another 3 inches possible. Temperatures steady around 32. Southwest winds 15 to 25 miles per hour with higher gusts near strong showers. It is currently 29 degrees. You're listening to KCAW Sitka, and the time now is 1 minute past 8 o'clock. Good morning.